Now, last Sunday morning, we were considering just one short paragraph from this seventh chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And you remember, if you were here, that in it, Jesus describes two contrasted ways through life. And he puts it in terms of journeying along a choice of roads. There's a choice of two. There is a wide catastrophe. It reaches a cliff edge, and cars are tumbling over it all the time. Jesus said that broad road leads to destruction. The other road, by contrast, is a difficult one. It's entered through a narrow gate. Once you're through the narrow gate, it's uphill all the way, and the ground is hard underfoot. But for all its accompanying difficulties, this road leads to life. And making its way along this narrow road, shuffling a little maybe, but helping one another, is a small, but how they sort of do a detour at the end, and further along the way they join up again, and all will be well. Now, this revised version of Jesus' teaching, which is then presented as the real thing, goes down rather well with the outsider, who says, not surprisingly, well, I like this kind of Christianity. We could do with more of this. There may be a real place for it even today, unlike that other intolerant kind that some fanatics and bigots will want to propagate. There's no room for that kind of thing, they will say, in this dangerous modern world. We've got to learn to live together. Can't have people making comments and claims like that. And false teachers attract a crowd because, as somebody once said, they talk about a God who has no wrath, bringing people who are without sin into a kingdom without any judgment through a Christ who has no cross. And of course it is a popular message, but it's not Christian. It's not according to Christ, and it deceives. And what deceives will ultimately destroy. And Jesus says, beware. Wolves are very good at wearing sheep's clothing. Trees, on the other hand, which he goes on to talk about, are not able to disguise themselves. It's very obvious what a tree is, which is why Jesus amplifies his point here by talking about trees and their fruits. From verse 16, he says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, in fact, the buckthorn bush in Palestine, apparently it did have little black berries which looked a little like grapes. And you could be taken in just for a little bit, but if you wanted to make wine, you would fairly rapidly discover which was lawlessness, a disobedient spirit which is disguised by this torrent of supposedly Christian activity. They are busy, but they are barren. I know this kind of thing can sound tremendously impressive. And when we've been on holiday as a family in Wales over the years, we've gone to a little church in Letterston. It's a lovely little church. You can fit about, it's actually called St. Giles, which I rather like. And you can fit about 10 of it into this building, I should think, if not 12. It's very small. It has a lovely, lovely ministry. A wonderful man's been there for many, many years. It's a small congregation as well. But they are lovely, godly people. They love the Lord. They serve him day by day. They are not impressive in any way. They're just living local lives for Christ in their part of southwest Wales. And I was talking with one person who, she and her husband are there for some of the year, but they actually are overseas for a lot of the year. And she was sounding very restless. She was saying, you know, I hear about these spectacular things. I hear about people being raised from the dead in this part of God's world somewhere, and I think, if only we could see the power of God like that here. The other, what's different about the other? Well, he or she has also heard, but then done nothing about what he or she has heard. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And why hasn't he done anything about them? Well, he may well approve of what he hears. He may say, I like my church. I like going to that church. It has good teaching, you know. And I've been reading this great Christian book. But the teaching never results in change. Maybe he just doesn't get round to it. Maybe he's too busy with other things. Gets into a habit of hearing, but then doing nothing. Or maybe she's too reluctant to be disturbed and unsettled, can't really see that it matters that much. It's okay for you, it's not really for me, that kind of line. Some, of course, may go further than that and deliberately turn away and say, I've heard it and I don't want it, and refuse it. But one way or another, it is all too easy to be one who listens but is lazy, who hears but does not respond. The opportunity of response keeps slipping by. And when the storm of God's judgment falls, it is too late, and the house is swept away. Now, Jesus has been introduced in chapter 1 of the Gospel as